So my name is Angela Post. I'm the Extension Specialist for Small Grains at North Carolina State University. And this morning I'm going to be talking about some of our first malting quality work, looking at the malt quality of winter barley in North Carolina. So this is an emerging specialty crop for our state. We've been growing barley for a long time, but we have a huge increase in the number of microbreweries and craft breweries in our state over the last 5 years. And we have several malt houses that have come up in several parts of the state. And producers can really command a higher price for really good quality malting barley. Somewhere between $8 and $10 a bushel for good quality malt barley is being paid by malt houses, compared to only $2 to $3 per bushel for feed barley, which is what we are typically growing barley for in North Carolina. We do run into some challenges because barley is fairly cold sensitive, and we tend to have late spring freezes in our state. And we also are fairly wet through the growing season, so that makes it a challenge with the fungal pathogens and kind of keeping our aflatoxin levels down in malting barley. So that being said, what is the quality that maltsters need? This is really the target that the producer has to hit, and it's a little bit different than what we're looking for in feed barley. So protein needs to be between 9.5% and 12.5%. That top level, 12.5%, is usually what they're shooting for, that or more, even as much as 14% for feed barley. The reason we want that lower in malting barley is because we want more starch in that seed so that we can make more alcohol over time. Moisture needs to be actually more than 85% plump kernels. So this is retained on a 6/64 sieve or 2.5 millimeter sieve. They really want all those grains to be a very similar size. They can't really malt it easily if they have multiple sizes of seed. Moisture is standard 13.5% or less. This is just for storage quality. And then 95% or better germination. So germination quality needs to be at or better than much of our certified seed in the state. Because if you can't germinate it, you can't malt it. And then RVA numbers need to be greater than 120. This is just a number kind of representing the enzymatic activity in that seed and whether or not there's been any pre-germination. So if we get pre-germination in the field, we certainly aren't going to be able to germinate that malt. And when we put it into storage to wait to be malted, we continue to get enzymatic activity. So if we're less than that 120 number, it just doesn't store very well. And a malter will not be willing to pay that premium price for it because he's going to lose part of that seed over time. And then less than one part per million Dawn level, this is a real challenge in North Carolina, particularly in certain growing areas. This is vomitoxin, an aflatoxin produced by Fusarium head scab. And for feed barley, we can be as much as five parts per million and still be able to sell that barley. A malt house is not going to buy any barley if it's more than one part per million, and they really want it to be zero when it comes down to it. They're not going to do what feed guys do and kind of blend that to get their levels lower. They're just going to refuse the load. So on top of that, what are the producers needing? So the producers have to hit all of those marks, but they also want high yield and good test weight. Those are things that the malter isn't necessarily concerned about, but the grower would like so that he can get that premium price. For typical production practices in North Carolina, the activities you would do for malting barley are not going to be any different than they would be for feed barley, except for we're probably going to be a little lower on our nitrogen levels so that we can keep that protein level lower, and we're going to spend a little more time treating it like a certified seed crop instead of just leaving it out there in the field. In North Carolina, for malt barley, we find we need at least one protective fungicide application, and sometimes two, depending on the region and the environment. So this objective is no different than any other variety testing program. We were looking at malting barley lines in several locations to look at the balance between genetics and environment and which ones of these impact the malting characteristics more. So this particular season, we had a small number of varieties that we're testing to get started. Four locations, Salisbury, Stem, Selma, and Mills River. This kind of spans from eastern Piedmont all the way to the mountains part of North Carolina. We had 2 6-row barleys, Thoroughbred and Secretariat. Thoroughbred is the main variety we grow in North Carolina as a feed barley, and a lot of growers are comfortable with that variety. It does have good malt characteristics typically, so a lot of growers are still trying to use that even though it's a 6-row and the malters prefer 2-row. And then we had 4 2-row barleys, Violetta, Wint Malt, Endeavor, and Charles. Some of these are recommended on the USDA malting barley list, and some are not. So we had conventionally tilled plots across the state. We were at the maximum on that nitrogen level, 120 units of N. We wanted to make sure we hit our yield, and we'll worry with the agronomy later to look at lowering those protein levels. Varieties were replicated 6 times, and then once we harvested and took individual data for plots, we married those plots together and took a subsample out to send away for malting characteristic. So typically we didn't do this by rep, so you're not going to be seeing a bunch of statistics on the graphics I show, because the malt quality for a particular site, we just wanted one malt quality for that site, not multiple. Characteristics we looked at: protein, moisture, plumpness, RVA, percent germination, and DON. And then we classified those varieties as suitable for malting or not. So just to give a quick snapshot before we move into the graphics, this was just an average across all locations pulled together what our yields were for these varieties in North Carolina. So we ranged from 66.4 to 120.3. Our growers would be happy with all of those numbers, all the way down to the mid-60s. They're going to be pleased with a yield like that. Certainly they're going to be extra pleased with a yield of 120, but mid-60s is kind of an average for some of our small grain in North Carolina. Test weights were low overall. We only had a couple of them that got close to the mark for growers, and that's just environmental for the state for that year. So if the graphics I'm going to show, they're going to be a little bit redundant, because first we're going to look at each one of the characteristics by variety. So I have the varieties down here. All 6 of them are all in the same order for each graphic: Wint Malt, Violetta, Secretariat, Endeavor, Thoroughbred, and Charles. And all of our locations are on the first slide. Rowan is blue, Stem is red, Selma in this yellow color, and Mills River in purple. And first we have a yield. After that, we're going to look at it by location for the same variety, so we can kind of see what the signal looks like either by genetics or by environment. So this is the signal for yield by genetics, and we see that it's exactly what we would expect. You've got one location where the yields are all very high, and when we look at this by location, we see that it's more of a location effect, which we would expect for yield. You're going to have different yield characteristics for each location, and then you get lower in Stem, lower in Selma, and lower in Mills River compared to Rowan, which is our Piedmont location. So yield tends to be, just as we would expect, a location effect. Now, plumpness by variety. This is, remember, that 2.5 millimeter sieve that we need to be retained on. And in this case, we do have good qualities from Wint Malt and Violetta. And the number that the maltsters are looking for is 85% or more seed retained on that sieve. And we see that Wint Malt and Violetta hit that mark every time, no matter what location they were grown in. So that's more of a genetic background characteristic than a location characteristics. We did have Endeavor and Charles hit that at one of the locations, but for the most part, no other varieties were really meeting that requirement, so those loads would be refused by malt houses. So if we look by location, we can see that there isn't any one location where every variety hit the mark. We just have those 2 varieties, Wint Malt and Violetta, again in the red and blue, that are creeping above that line where they need to be. So then protein content by variety, this one is going to be the biggest challenge in North Carolina. We have a hard time hitting that sweet spot of 9.5% to 12.5%. So remember, that's where the malt house wants it to be. If it is above that level, they're going to be refused. Again, they're not going to take the time to kind of blend these to get those protein levels down in an overall load. They want that protein level to be the same in all the seed. So the only ones they're going to accept are the ones that fall inside of that yellow band right there. That's by variety, and if we look by location, we can see that this is more of a location effect, so an environmental issue. Rowan is the only location where every single variety was inside of the mark. We had a few at Stem that almost made it to where they needed to be, and then Selma and Mills River, they were all too high of a protein level. Remember, these all received the same number of units of nitrogen at all locations, so in this case it was something else in the environment rather than that nitrogen that was causing the issue. RBA, again, an indication of pre-sprouting. The number that we're looking for is 120 or more, so everything above that line is going to be an acceptable RBA number. And we can see that by variety, we kind of have a mixed signal here. We don't have any one variety except maybe Secretariat that kind of made it, actually Secretariat and Thoroughbred at all locations. And then when we move to by location, we have no locations where every single variety creeped above that line. So this one is kind of hard to determine. Is it a genetic background issue or is it a location issue? So we really can't tease that one out the way it's been clear for the other characteristics. Dawn levels, this one, as we would expect, is very location dependent. So by variety, we see it's a mixed bag. You can see a lot of missing bars on this particular graph. That's because we had a couple of locations where we had no head scab to speak of, so we didn't have any dawn level there, so that's good. So we look at that level needs to be one, again, one part per million or less. So we can see the locations for Stem and Mills River were kind of above that mark across the board. And when we look at it by location, we can see that that's a very heavy location effect. So Mills River all the way on the end, almost all varieties went above the line. And in Mills River, that middle bar, I don't know if you've noticed, it was missing the whole time. There was a variety that we lost at that location due to pre-sprouting. So we didn't have anything for that one. And then Stem, three out of the six varieties were above that one part per million, so we couldn't sell those. So the environment, obviously, like the reason we do variety testing is that it has a significant effect on quality for small grains, and particularly for malting barley, the protein content is the one that we're trying to hit. If you go back through all of that data, the one big thing was only the one location at Rowan was able to meet in that protein content. So none of our other locations we would have been able to sell any of that barley as malting quality. So that's the one that we're going to focus on next year, is trying to get that protein content and figure out what are the environmental characteristics that we're trying to manipulate to hit that. Location most closely impacted yield, which we expect, protein content, and dawn levels. Grain plumpness was definitely a genetic background characteristic, and sometimes that's related to it being a two-row versus a six-row. Our two-row barleys tend to make a plumper grain because there's fewer rows of grains on that head, but we do have good plumpness out of a couple of the six rows as well. And then it was a mixed bag for the RVA number or the pre-sprouting indication, but it seemed to lean more towards a genetic background issue on the pre-sprouting. So based on the performance we have this year, the only two varieties in this six variety test were Wint Malt and Violetta, suitable for malting in North Carolina. In this upcoming year, the North Carolina Official Variety Testing Program has folded the malting barley variety test into that program. We have three locations planned. I think one of them's already planted with 16 entries. So we've increased the number of entries where we're able to look at this, and we'll be again assessing malt quality across those locations. We also have a two-row barley by nitrogen test at multiple locations to look at trying to manipulate this protein level, and then fungicide tests that will help us tease out what are the best opportunities to decrease those dawn levels. So for acknowledgments, Ryan Heiniger, our director of the OBT, who has graciously agreed to fold this into his program, Gary Cross, an extension agent who helps us often with malting barley. All of our malt quality data comes from Aaron McLeod's program at Hartwick College, and our undergraduates Ian Fleming and Jeremy Davis. And I'll take any questions if there's time.
There is time. So.
Yes. So the question was about seeding rates. Hopefully everybody heard that. So I don't have anything planned this coming year, but we do see that with those higher seeding rates, we're going to be using that nitrogen kind of more uniformly. I think it's kind of a trade-off between those two things. This coming year, it's all going to be focused on nitrogen. We just simply don't have the time to look at a lot of things, but that's a very good suggestion for for improving?
Well, the weather and harvest. I'm from Arkansas. We've got a lot of microbrewers trying to do the same thing you're doing here. They want to grow it the natural way. You know, no fungicides. You know, we talked to them about fungicides. You know, they're not really against that or don't really want to do that. But as far as environment, we've got a similar environment probably that 2-3 days of rainfall at the wrong time, you know, we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So in your, I mean, you've worked for this just 1 year, maybe a couple years. I mean, do you think you can have malting barley every year or every quality every year, every other year? I mean, that's extrapolating data, I know. But.
So in our environment, it's a challenge for any small grain. I mean, we only have good quality wheat 2 and 5 years, you know, so we're not going to have good quality every single year. There'll probably be pockets in those states that have this kind of environment that would have good quality in a given year, and then next year it'll be some other pocket in the state that would have good quality. Do you also deal with head blight, head scab? So there's no way around that. If they're going to sell it, it's got to be under 1 part per million, and really our malt houses don't even want to see one. They want it 0 or less than 0.1 or whatever, and they're not going to mix it. For us, we have been lucky in that our malt houses are willing to clean the seed. So they almost all of them have a seed cleaner on site. They accept a load in. They clean that seed or screen it to the 664th sieve. They pay the grower the $8 to $10 a bushel for what they keep, and the grower comes and picks up the rest for feed barley. So that's been really nice because the grower hasn't been responsible for that in our state, and they're really working hard to buy local. I don't know if that's going to be the same case for you all. So that's helpful because no grower is going to come out of the field with 75 bushel malt barley and sell all 75 bushel per acre to a malt house. They're just not.
Very good. Thank you, Angela.